For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right. Fantasy playoff time for a lot of folks. Got to clear my throat at the beginning of the show. I was apparently not ready to start talking yet. Ready now, though. Maybe. This is Fantasy NBA Today. You guys probably know that already. I'm your host, Dan Bespris. It's Monday, beginning of week 20 of the fantasy basketball season. A lot of leagues going into their playoffs today. Roto, obviously, we got 6 weeks left. It's stretch run time. And then Yahoo head-to-head leagues, they don't start their playoffs for like three more weeks, which is flat out idiotic, but it is. So we deal with it as we deal with it. Quick. A preview of what's coming up today as we get rolling here. Obviously, this show will largely be a weekend recap. We're going to go through each team's most recent ball game, get you situated for the week ahead, what players emerged from the weekend as guys that absolutely positively need to be on rosters, who perhaps doesn't, big injury news, stuff like that. And much like Friday, I'm planning on having a second show early this afternoon, preferably right after lunchtime, if I can get to it quickly, and we'll break down the week ahead from a streaming standpoint. And if all goes well, we'll be able to do that tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. I think Friday might only be a one-show day, just based on pretty sure I got to get out of here by, like, lunchtime. But my goal in all that is to give you guys your best streaming opportunities as you hit the playoffs or if you're fighting for a playoff spot. But this way, we don't have to just cram it in to, you know, 4 minutes at the end of this, the recap show, the sort of fantasy, talk about all the names kind of thing. So that's the plan for the next few days. We'll sort of try to keep it cruising along as long as we can. Well, again, I'm not going to be able to hit every day. It'll be, my goal is like 80% or higher hit rate on weekdays for some streaming thoughts, but I'll also try to get some stuff out on social as well. I'm at Dan Bespris over on Twitter, DanBesBris. This, of course, is a Sports Ethos presentation. And quick shout out to our baseball guys, the baseball draft guide available now in the baseball fantasy pass. That's just $6 a month, same as the basketball rate. And first of all, you can get that over at sportsethos.com. I've got a link in the show description. And for those of you that are following here that are already subscribed to our NBA premium stuff, the NBA Fantasy Pass, you can upgrade to the All Sport for $1 a month. It is the lowest price the All Sport will ever be. And also, based on expectations here internally, the NBA Pass next season is going to be $7. So you can get the All Sport now and keep that price forever, as long as you just keep it turned on. So a pretty awesome deal on that front. Definitely go check out the work those baseball guys are doing. And it sounds like the Orico 250, top 250 baseball names, is dropping today in that guide. So that's awesome as well. Let's get through the game Sunday, Saturday, and then there are a few teams that didn't go over the weekend this time around. There were more than usual, so expect us to dig in a little bit on Friday. As far as yesterday goes, Philly beat Dallas. It was a wild one. Sixers actually trailed this game 11-0 to start the ball game, and then opened up a double-digit lead at one point and kind of held it for a while. The news over the weekend for the Sixers is that Mo Bamba slid into the starting lineup, but Paul Reed has actually still played the majority of the center minutes in those last two ball games, and he's looked better doing it, frankly. So they've won their games. Philly's won their last two games. One of them was against a sort of a pastry team, but Dallas is a reasonable opponent, and my guess would be that they continue to do it. So Bamba will probably start, but his minutes haven't changed that much. Paul Reed's minutes also, believe it or not, haven't changed all that much. He's just able to function better with them, playing in different second units against second string guys. So hold on to Paul Reed. You're not adding Nick Batum. Very nice ballgame for him, but we know his body hasn't gone 30 minutes a night. So Reed, Maxey, Harris, Oubre, Hield is a hold. I know he's cooled off a bit. We sort of always knew he would. And then Kyle Lowry is kind of the guy you're keeping a side eye on because he's had a lot of assists his last two ball games. He might very well play his way into a roster spot. Don't just write off Lowry because it's Kyle Lowry. Like, he's not that far away from being a useful fantasy player. He's a tough ad. And actually, that's not true because I think they go four times this week. I think it's 5, 6, 8, and 10, if I'm not mistaken. He is not particularly heavily rostered these days because he wasn't doing very much with Miami, but he's acclimated here to Philly. DeAnthony Melton is out for we don't know how long, and in his last two ball games, Lowry's played 69 minutes and has 4 3-pointers, is averaging about 11-ish points per ball game, 11 and change, 5 boards and 8.5 assists over that stretch, which is nothing to shake a stick at. You know, we're talking about a NBA starting point guard right now, whose main job is going to be to get the ball to Maxey, to Harris, to Oubre, whoever. Doesn't have to worry too much about his own scoring. But look, if he's going to take 9 shots, that's actually probably enough for him to have top 100 value. I don't know if it sticks. Shooting percentage is going to hurt you. But I would say it'd be short-sighted for us to not at least consider Kyle Lowry at this stage of the game. And the nice part is, I think a lot of people are just sort of not considering him because he's Kyle Lowry. And that's fine. It's just sort of a different thing in Philly than he had in Miami. Even if the minutes are not all that different. In Miami, he was at 8 points and 4 assists in 28 minutes a game. In Philly, he's at 8 points and 6 assists in 28 minutes a game. And maybe you get last year's Kyle Lowry, which, again, it's always fairly beat up, but he was 11, 4, and 5 with a steal and 2 3-pointers in Miami last year. And that was, by all accounts, enough to be kind of a fringe-level starting caliber fantasy player. I think he was like number 115 last season. Not, like, I wouldn't put it past him. But he could very easily get back to 115 here. Before Embiid comes around, obviously, his bodies get warmer, then, you know, easier to pick up Lowry and stick him on a bench on the Roto side because, you know, he's going to miss ball games. Will he play in their upcoming back-to-back? My guess, honestly, is yes. I don't think Philly's that worried about Lowry's body health. I think they just need him to cover games, do whatever you can until you fall apart, and hopefully their internal thought would be like, hopefully Embiid is closer to coming back. But Philly actually has a really good schedule this week starting Tuesday. That would be a lovely time to deploy him on the head-to-head side. Am I going to outright add him and cut someone of value? No, especially not with the other guys that popped up over the weekend. But if you missed out on those guys, I don't think Lowry is that bad of an alternate option here, especially because everybody's always hunting assists. Bad news out of Dallas. The center situation is just untenable at this point. Maxey Kleber was back. He, Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford were all terrible in this game. Not one of them even came remotely close to fantasy value. So you just kind of have to move on. You're not adding Derek Jones Jr. He made 5 3-pointers. That's not a thing that's going to stick every ball game. So right now, Luka and Kyrie are kind of the only 9-cat guys you can play for the Mavs. And then PJ Washington is probably kind of borderline points league useful. 9-cat, he'll have a couple decent games, and then he'll fall apart. Boston smoked Golden State by 52. Yucky. Moses Moody is getting some starts here with Andrew Wiggins and Brandon Podziemski out. I mean, I don't think you really need to take a big old Moses Moody plunge. Plus, the Warriors are off today and tomorrow. Then they go back-to-back Wednesday, Thursday. If you find out somehow that Wiggins and Pods are still out for those, then yeah, you could use Moody on the back-to-back. But this is not a guy you're going to try to get out in front of for any reason. So let's keep going. This game requires none, zeros of our attention. Clippers beat Minnesota 89-88. Yeah, I know. Refs aren't calling as many fouls right now. They're sort of, they've decided they're not calling the ticky-tack stuff anymore. Getting ready for the playoffs 6 weeks early. Norman Powell was kind of the first winner here with no Russell Westbrook, who broke his hand over the weekend. He's out indefinitely. As I told you guys, Terrence Mann, he does these, you know, 2 week heaters, and then all of a sudden it kind of disappears. The winner on just like getting to do more in this was Powell, but also a little bit extra Amir Coffee. You're not going down that rabbit hole either. Zubats, by the way, just he was getting roasted, so they went to Daniel Tice instead, which I don't think is a permanent thing. Zoo is like your prototypical plodding third string center. So he belongs on some rosters. He doesn't belong on others. It's really about fit. He's in the doesn't matter club. We can have added. Yay, that's actually fun. You know what? I'm going to do that on the fly so I don't forget to do it later. We are adding Ivica Zubats to the doesn't matter club while we sit. Let me make sure I spell it right on my page here. While we talk on air, we have a new member. Mostly, you've got Paul George, Kawhi, James Harden, and then keep an eye on Norman, Stormin' Norman. He had 6 3-pointers, and he doesn't really do anything else besides threes score efficiently. And that's fine, but it would be nice if there was like a rebound, an assist, any kind of consistent defensive stats. He's a tough one. I don't think I'm adding Norman Powell. Over on the Timberwolves side, the general... Like, the guys came back. That's the short version. Anthony Edwards was questionable. He played. Slow-mo was questionable. He sort of played. Sounds like he may or may not be good for the next one. What we talked about at the end of last week was... Yes, I spilled water all over my face, if you guys saw that happening live on air. Nice work, Dan. I have what... I need to do an airplane bit here. I have a drinking problem. If Slow-mo misses the next ball game, you guys are just going to watch me do this podcast wet now. If Slow-mo misses the next one, then Naz Reid would move back into a starting valuation. But as long as everybody is in all of the main cogs, then Naz goes back to the fantasy bench. Mike Conley has cooled off a lot of late. He'll be fine. Yeah, guys go through slumps. He'll be fine. Hold on to him. Detroit, they were able to hang in there for one half of basketball against Orlando, and then the ceiling caved in. Simone Fontecchio had 15 points in 33 bench minutes schedule play. Evan Fournier, 17 points in 26 bench minutes. Also probably sort of teetering on the schedule play zone. You're not adding those guys in unless Detroit has a, you know, particularly strong run coming up. And they don't really, not until at least next week. So, and Roto's standpoint, none of those guys matter. Roto, the only guys you can play on this team are Cade, Duren, and probably Ausar Thompson right now, who's kind of ratcheted it back up. You can see he's got a little more pep in his step. He's got the sort of unleashed, so to speak. That is, not that he's going to be like a monster, but he's not getting yanked around here anymore. And yeah, maybe, I'm sure there'll be a game in there where he does get yanked around. But by and large, he's just going to play starters minutes now. And I think that'll be good for his psyche. So, Thompson, Cade, Duren, those are the guys you trust on Detroit in sort of an all-formats deal. And then you've got a host, like Jaden Ivey is a points league type of guy. Isaiah Stewart, Evan Fournier, Simone Fontecchio, we just talked about. Those guys are more schedule-y. On the Orlando side, we got a big one out of Wendell Carter Jr. It was extraordinarily efficient. He shot 5 for 7 from the field and 7 for 7 at the free throw line. That's just not going to happen every day. This is the joys of playing against a very bad Detroit Pistons team. And so for the Magic, Franz Wagner continues to basically be the only guy you can trust in Nine Cat day to day. Gary Harris, should he actually get consistent minutes, would probably be the next one, which tells you that this is just not a team built for Nine Cat fantasy. Paolo's a points league darling. Wendell Carter Jr. is more points leaguey. He had some defensive stats here, but he doesn't usually get them. Fultz, it doesn't do enough day-to-day. His body doesn't handle it. Suggs is also sort of borderline, but typically the field goal percent weighs him down. Just leave him alone. I promise your life will be easier if you just leave him alone. No Nick Richards for the Charlotte Hornets, so Grant Williams now slid up and played small ball center, and it was sweet. He had 13 rebounds. And if that happens again, then Grant Williams is very much an all-systems go. He didn't take any three-pointers. Or, sorry, he didn't hit any three-pointers in this game, is probably what I should say. Which had kind of been his only fantasy note. Would I pick up Grant Williams not knowing if he's going to get the next start at center? I would not. They play tomorrow, and then they're off for 2 days. So it's not a great spot for head-to-head. If you wanted to sort of pre-add him on Roto and see, oh, well, Nick Richards missed another ball game. Okay, whatever. That's fine. Trey Mann, I did tell you guys to sell high when you could. These will be the quieter ones. He's having a week or two of quiet, and then he'll have a big game or two, and then it'll be quiet again, and back and forth it goes. Vasily Micic, 12-6 with a couple of steals as a start in this ball game. Keep an eye on that, at the very least. I don't know that it's going to be an everyday thing, but if suddenly he's playing 35 minutes, then he'd be an ad. Like, it'd be an easy one. I need to see it again. Guys are kind of in and out of the lineup here for Charlotte. They're shifting bodies around. I mean, Davis Bertans played 26 minutes, which I don't think we can expect to happen. But Micic is the one that you're, I think, maybe more intrigued by. Grant Williams as well. There was no Seth Curry also in this one, just for whatever that's worth. So they were down a few more bodies. But, yeah, I mean, starting level minutes for Vasilije is absolutely worth a play in fantasy for the assists, for the steals, for the sort of various stuffs. And then you just kind of have to hope that efficiency doesn't jump up and bite.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Toronto, meanwhile, lost another player to injury. Jakob Poeltl suffered a dislocated finger, I should say. He left at halftime. Kelly Olynyk only got 8 first-half minutes after playing big minutes in the previous ball game, and then he played 18 in the second half, and they have nobody else at this point. So as much as Toronto was trying to keep Olynyk shrink-wrapped a little bit, he's going to play, and he'll be one of my favorite plays for as long as Poeltl's out, and possibly even after he comes back. Gary Trent also stepping up in a big, big way with no Scotty Barnes. His shots are going to go up. His usage, basically, is going to go up. So Gary Trent absolutely belongs on fantasy rosters. He is an ad in every format right now. And yeah, injury replacement stuff, but I mean, Scotty Barnes, we might not see him for a month. So Olynyk and Trent, both, in my opinion, belong on rosters. Go heavy, go hard, get him on your team. Those are two of the bigger names to take away from today's show. The Knicks lost Jalen Brunson 1 minute into this ballgame. It looked bad. They haven't said anything more than knee soreness right now, which, I mean, I don't know that I believe that to be true. Let's hope it is. On the Brunson front, Deuce McBride is your streaming fill-in. He'll be solid Knicks. What do the Knicks schedule look like this week? Yeah, bad. They go one time over the next 4 days, and it's two consecutive three-game weeks. So kind of hard to add McBride for the entire week, even though he's going to put up some decent numbers. Roto, you could probably stream him. And if you wanted to go head-to-head, you'd probably do it on Friday, because at least then you get Friday, Sundays, or two games the last 3 days of the week. It might add a game to your ledger, but you certainly can't move to him now in head-to-head. And then Bojan Bogdanović, keep an eye on that. Precious Achiuwa's minutes were down in this ball game. His production was nice, but they decided they need a little more scoring out there for a day, and so Bojan was that. Even still, I mean, this is the kind of game it's going to take to even get him to the top 100. So you're not adding Bogdanović, you're holding Precious. Josh Hart, triple-double. Dante DiVincenzo continues to go nuts. And then Isaiah Hartenstein is the other one. I think you just kind of have to bench him. Head-to-head, you play him. You hope for the best. Take another sip without pouring it all over myself. Roto, I don't know how, I mean, I know this was a better ball game. He almost went slot machine style, 8-7-8 with a couple of blocks. But if he's only getting 23, 24 minutes because of his sore Achilles, I don't know how you use him against your games cap right now. But I also don't know how you drop him. Because if he suddenly starts to feel better and the minutes tick back up into the high 70s or low 30s, I mean, you saw earlier this year, he's a top 40 fantasy play in starters minutes. Mitchell Robinson might be coming back later this month. We still don't know. So I think you got to hold somehow on Hartenstein. Cavaliers were once again without Donovan Mitchell and without Caris LeVert. Darius Garland was unable to do carry it himself enough. Sam Merrill hit 7 3-pointers. We've seen him go crazy when a bunch of guys are down for the Cavs. Now, he'd be a pretty intriguing threes streamer. And Cleveland has a pretty good schedule starting tomorrow. Problem, of course, is that Donovan Mitchell and LeVert could resurface at any point, and then you'd be forced to abandon ship on that one. Same story for Isaac Okoro, who's going to put up numbers in 35 minutes of ball game. He just sort of has no choice but to do so. But this, like in the era of the long stream, if you're trying to stream a bunch of different slots for the playoffs and you're picking up a guy, you kind of want to know that you're going to be able to use him for 4 or 6 days. And if starters come back for this team, or I guess we should say a starter, but two big usage guys, then it pushes everybody around on the totem pole. So I'm not using a move on a Cavalier in head-to-head. I guess I'd be fine adding a Okoro if you needed a wing type of number against a games cap. And then Max Strus, we've seen this before. He's actually better when the team is at full strength. He's more open. It's opener there in the wide open air. Indiana lost at San Antonio. My precious Pacers over wager. This was supposed to be one that they could just put in the bank. They did not. They're 34-28. It doesn't seem like Halliburton is fully healthy, which I think is, I mean, I guess he could just be in a slump, but it also, I don't know, has he been fully healthy since the injury, whatever it was, month and a half ago, something like that? Needless to say, Indy's gone to sort of backup point guards more lately. TJ McConnell's had a number of very good games in a row, and, you know, shout out to TJ, because we haven't really been doing our job talking about it, but he's been very good of late, and the minutes haven't been that big or anything, but they've been just a tiny bit bigger to make it worthwhile. Like, just the littlest amount is all it took. His minutes were, you know, sometimes he played, sometimes he didn't, 15, 16, 17, 18 points. And in the last four games, it's 20, 19, 17, and 27. And, yeah, he's top 60 over those that week and a half. It's going to come and go. It'll fluctuate. He's on a very hot run right now. But if you badly need assists and steals on decent field goal percent, then you got a possible play. With, again, the caveat, Indiana's schedule stinks. This was another one where you're sort of targeting a particular set of stats, more so on Roto than head-to-head. Benedict Mathurin still got 32 minutes here. Somewhat surprising. I don't know that now Andrew Nembhard, I guess, is probably the guy you'd point to and say this guy lost out on minutes. Mathurin is a drop, by the way, with Aaron Nesmith back. It's, if you haven't done it already, it's just a matter of time. Nesmith is a very soft hold if you can do it. Probably a streamable slot in head-to-head given their poor schedule this week, but if you can hang on, and certainly on the Roto side, you should try to. Holy crap, Victor Wembanyama again. Everybody's rocketed up a fantasy leaderboard as fast as this dude. He's past Donovan Mitchell now. He's just on the rise. He's number 7 in 9-cat. It's crazy. Not adding Malachi Branham, not adding Jeremy Sochan, not adding Keldon Johnson. Barely hanging on to Trey Jones, but I think softest of soft holds there. And so you're basically going Wemby and Vassell and then maybe Trey Jones. This is the bi-weekly Lou Dort slightly better ball game. You can ignore that. Shea, monster. Jalen Williams, monster. No notes on OKC. We don't have to talk about them. 31 rebounds for Yusuf Nurkic. That's notable. His team lost, but he was a plus 10 in a game they lost by 8. That is not good news if you're Bol Bol or Drew Eubanks. Basically like, look, we can't win without. And Phoenix, they're, you know, they're fine when they're fully healthy. They're fine. They're pretty good when they're fully healthy, but they have no depth at all. So when, you know, one guy is out or whatever it is, they get hit, especially when it's Booker. because KD looks a little tired this last week or two. Bradley Beal was good. Anyway, point is, you're starting Royce O'Neal still with Booker out. KD and Beal, obviously. Nurk, obviously. Grayson Allen had some defensive stats here. He has kind of slowed over the last week. I would say try desperately to hold on to Grayson Allen. He's had a really good season overall. Couple of down ball games. Okay, I get it. Like, you need more day-to-day. And Phoenix is coming off a really good schedule week, and they're sliding now into kind of a crummy one this week. So I get it. You might be able to pick somebody up like Brooklyn, who has five games for Grayson's three. That's probably a move you could do. But if you can hang on, I think you should do it. Also, we heard before the ballgame that Eric Gordon was going to be on a minutes limit, and then he played 30 off the bench. So I guess not. I don't like Eric Gordon's fantasy game. I've said that 100 times on the show. But if you need three-pointers real bad, and it sounds like Booker's going to miss at least a week, Gordon probably can give you those, even if the percentages end up suffering. Let's go back to Saturday. It was a quiet one, so that's why we're going to have a few things to talk about on Friday. Also, hey, shout out to the much larger live viewing audience on this one than we've had lately. Welcome back, apparently, everybody, to fantasy basketball. You make my heart skip a beat. A reminder, mid-show, please do follow me over on social at Dan Bespris. And also, take a moment to like and subscribe if you're new. There's always one new person out there. I know there's one new person. Please like and subscribe. Subscribe being the bigger thing, like being the smaller. If you're just like, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to subscribe to all of these, but I did like this one. So, you know, like the link on Twitter or like the YouTube page or whatever it is. Show that love in some small way that continues to help us grow. But obviously, if you really do like what we're doing here, you got to hit that subscribe button. That's extremely important. Also, mid-show reminder for those that are joining us late, do indeed check out the baseball draft guide. The Orico 250 is going in there later today. Oh, yes. Joe Orico's top 250 for your baseball draft. I know some of you guys watching or listening to this show play fantasy baseball also, and that's the place you can go get some really awesome stuff. Again, if you already have an NBA pass, you can upgrade and get baseball and football added onto it for $1 a month. And if you don't have either, it's a great time to get something and jump aboard and help Sports Ethos grow and support the people and website that you guys love so much. Let's talk about Saturday. Atlanta, the lack of Trae Young starting to catch up with them a little bit, but I don't think I'm going to change my valuation much. You got Jalen Johnson, you got DeAndre Hunter, you got Bogey, you got Capella, you got DeJounte Murray, you got Sadiq Bey. All of those guys are startable, with the sort of footnote that Hunter and Bey are probably more in the kind of doesn't matter range, but probably towards the front end of it with Trae out. Keep that in mind. And then Brooklyn, well, they've got a great fantasy week coming up because they play five times this week. We don't know what the deal is with Cam Thomas. We might see him later this week. We might not. As it stands, if you're head-to-head mode, any of those five starters is a go because, you know, you're talking about 150-plus minutes this week for those dudes. And frankly, Dennis Smith Jr. in five games probably gets you close to 100 minutes. That's pretty damn good. You could even dip as deep as De'Ron Sharp, who puts up numbers in 14, 15, 16 minutes a ball game. Just know he's going to hurt your free throw percent, and that would be if you were kind of hunting rebounds and blocks and field goal percent. He's iffy. But, I mean, five games, you can work a lot of magic with five games. Roto side, I don't know that I'm starting Dorian Finney-Smith. The other four starters I would definitely use in Roto with Cam Thomas and Ben Simmons out. That's Bridges, Cam Johnson, who's been great with Cam Thomas not around, Claxton, and Schroeder, and then Dorian Finney-Smith is sort of borderline, although you could probably play him in all formats just because they've trimmed the rotation down and he's getting 34 minutes of ball game lately. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Utah is leaning even a little harder into the tank. Lauri Markkanen is out with a right quad issue. We don't know for how long, but we do know that he's out for at least a ball game. Keontae George is on the injury report with an illness. So that's not a tank move. That's a young guy that they're really giving the basketball to. He had a big ball game, 31 points on Saturday. Great sell high opportunity on Keontae. This is the moment. John Collins, if you could sell, I mean, a lot of trade deadlines have passed. Some of them are still going. If you can't sell high, then you just sort of hold on and hope Keontae can ride a wave. Taylor Hendricks had 13 boards and a couple of blocks. That was interesting. And with Markkanen out, you can sort of assume that everybody else is going to get a little bit more to do. Sounds like Jordan Clarkson might be back for this ball game, but it also sounds like Walker Kessler is still out. So what do you do? Roto, Colin Sexton, John Collins, maybe Keyonte George. Head-to-head, definitely all of those guys. And then you can add probably Hendricks and Clarkson into the mix and just kind of hope that they can rack up a few stats. Utah has a three-game week that gets really bad after Wednesday. Then they play two games over 8 days after that. Brutal for head-to-head. Caleb Martin got hot for the Heat in this ball game, but you're not adding him because he played 23 bench minutes. You're going the starters minus Nikola Jovic. So Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Terry Rozier, Duncan Robinson, until Tyler Hero comes back. Then you just start Hero and you bench Duncan Robinson. Portland, they're deep into the tank now. Jeremy Grant officially had some right quad soreness. He ain't going to push his way through. Played 15 minutes before deciding that was good. And all of the guys that I mentioned, whatever it was, before the trade deadline as being like three or four injuries away, they're all on the table now. Because everybody's gone for the Blazers. Grant is probably going to miss some time. Scoot is still out. Brogdon's still out. Ayton's still out. Sharp is still out. I mean, you got a whole starting five, basically, on the shelf. Which means, for one, if Anthony Simons is healthy enough to play for Portland this week, he's going to take 25 shots a ball game. But it also means you can probably trust Tumani Kamara. That'd be my second favorite guy to use on the team. And there's a big drop-off between Simons and Kamara. But we've seen his fantasy game translate relatively well. Jabari Walker needs a lot of usage to get there. And he had it in this ball game. He got 16 shots up. So if you think he's going to get into that 14 to 16 shot range, Jabari Walker would also be a thumbs up. Duop Reith is a thumbs down for me. He did enough in this one, but the minutes don't seem locked in. If someone could tell me he was going to get 29 minutes, I'd say go on Duop Reith. But it seems like even when he starts, he still only gets 24, 25. Matisse Thybulle's questionable as well. If he plays, he would probably get 30 minutes, and he'd be a great defensive stats stream. And I admit, I don't know how to pronounce Ashton Hagens. I'm going to go with Hagens. It might be Hoggins or Haggins. He had a really nice game here. Really great fantasy line. But that's the kind of thing I'm going to need to see again before I do anything with it. But boy, oh boy, has Portland gone full tank now. Not to be outdone, although kind of outdone in this ballgame, Memphis brought a couple of their older guys, in John Conchar and Luke Kennard came back for this ballgame. Jaren Jackson was out. Zaire Williams left partway, made it through most of the ballgame first. So Memphis continues to be an extraordinarily difficult team to handicap more than like an hour before their game starts. So they are in Brooklyn tonight. And they have a four-game week, but I don't know if Jordan Goodwin's going to play in all four of those games. If he does, he'd be an awesome head-to-head play. Goodwin, very much a go in Roto, because if he doesn't play, you just, you know, save that games cap for later. Santi Aldama, great play when JJJ is out, which I don't know how many times that's going to happen this week, but keep Aldama ready to deploy. Vince Williams is an everydayer, along with JJJ when he plays, and Goodwin. Those three guys are everydayers. The borderline guys are Aldama, who's a go when JJJ is out, Kennard, who's missing a lot of games, and then like he took two shots in 28 minutes in this one, so he's in tank mode, and you could use Kennard for some assists and some threes, but don't expect much else. GG Jackson is exclusively a points league guy because all he really does is score, so I'm not super into that. And then Conchar is your across-the-board guy, but his minutes are not safe enough, so probably not there either. Did you guys follow that? I can do it again real fast. Guys to start if they're in the starting lineup. Goodwin, JJJ, Vince Williams Jr. Guys to start if Jaren Jackson Jr. is out would be Aldama, and then everybody else is sort of borderline. Safe? Cool? Okay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Denver beat the Lakers, same formula as always. Tie game until the last 3 minutes, and then they win by 10. I know, it's the craziest thing that this happens every single time the Lakers and the Nuggets play each other. Every time. 6-7 games in a row, the Lakers and the Nuggets have been tied at the 3 minute mark, and then the Nuggets win by almost double digits, or double digits in this one. They were very much powered by Nikola Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. MPJ went 10 for 10 in this ball game, including 5 3-pointers. That's a real good fantasy line. That's the best. That's all you can say. He jumped himself back up to number 66 in Ninecat, and he's played in 60 ball games this year. People were like kind of hating on him for a stretch this year in fantasy. Like, ah, should I move on? No. He's number 43 by totals. That's an impressive year for him. Anyway, Justin Holiday had some big shots off the bench. Basically, he became the KCP fill-in because Christian Brown wasn't playing all that well. And honestly, Holiday kind of saved the day. If he doesn't hit those threes in the middle of the ball game, the Lakers were up double digits for a while. And then, you know, Jamal Murray did Jamal Murray stuff against the Lakers because he always does. Even Aaron Gordon, like, the Lakers got to figure out how to get a rebound. They got out-rebounded by 16. I was actually at this ball game. It was very cool. I had an absolute blast. A friend of mine was able to kind of hook things up where I was able to go down and hang out courtside before the ball game. It was really cool. As far as the Lakers go, Rui Hachimura had a great ball game, but it wasn't enough. And then the Lakers inexplicably went to Cam Reddish down the stretch instead of D'Angelo Russell. I mean, this is like criminal level rotations. Why Max Christie doesn't get to play a minute over Prince or Reddish or Dinwiddie, I guess at least with Dinwiddie, he's a creator. But, like, Reddish legitimately can't catch passes. He doesn't belong in there. He's not big enough to rebound. And he's not offensively skilled enough to be useful on that. Like, if you were going to say, okay, well, Jared Vanderbilt's not very good on offense. Yeah, but guess what? He gets offensive rebounds and putbacks. And these guys both get steals. But one of them gets rebounds, putbacks, and can defend slightly bigger dudes. Even Dinwiddie. I'd rather have Dinwiddie in there over Reddish. That's silliness. Utter silliness. Anyway, you're not playing Rui every day. This is the sort of explosion game he'll be... I mean, he scores. Yeah, with this starting unit, he'll score. But there isn't a whole lot else going on. So, the usuals for the Lakers. Rockets over Phoenix. Jalen Green had one of his bigger ball games, and these come from time to time. If you still have a trade deadline intact, see if you can move him. Pretty easy call there. Amen Thompson, 21 minutes, and just, oh man, this kid's going to have some great fantasy lines in his career. The minutes are not super safe right now, and that's why I don't think I can call him a hold. What did he play, like 8-9 minutes in one of those other ball games recently? Oh man, it's so hard though because his game is so neat. Fantasy translatable. I just don't see how his minutes get above about 20. With the whole starting five healthy on this team. And 20 will be enough on some days like this one, but on others it won't be. And then it's going to probably level off to outside everyday startable, but damn. I wish I could make a really good argument to hang on. Houston does have a good head-to-head schedule this week starting tomorrow, so there's a reason. But then they go back to a three-game week after that. Womp womp. We already talked about Phoenix. So let's go back to Friday where there were five teams didn't play over the weekend. Can you remember them? Because I actually wrote them down this time. Here we go. Chicago, Milwaukee, New Orleans, Sacramento, Washington. Five teams did not play over the weekend. Let's go to Chicago. Question mark? All right, they played the Bucks. This is not Friday. That's why it was confusing. Where is Chicago on this screen so I can zip down? There we go. There's their ball game down near the end of the board. So Milwaukee, no massive surprises there. Giannis was Goliath in this game. But you're effectively starting four of the five starters. Jay Crowder's the one that you're not playing for Milwaukee. That's a pretty easy one until Middleton comes back, and then you probably take Beasley out. And then for Chicago, Alex Caruso played, which is good. When he plays, that means that Drummond is not going to get to do as much. Andre actually still played 24 minutes. He and Caruso kind of splitting time right now, which is super weird, I know. But Caruso comes out, Drummond comes in, and then everybody else sort of slides down a roster spot. So if Alex plays 30 minutes, you know, Drummond's not going to get to do enough. If Caruso can only go 25 like he did in this one, then Drummond can kind of teeter on the edge of fantasy value. But as we've talked about on the show before, you're mostly targeting the games for Chicago against big, 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 big front courts. That's where you use Drummond. What are the other teams I talked about? Sacramento, Washington. Let's go to Washington. We're speed demoning our way through this Friday. Washington, it sounds like Bilal is back for the Wizards' next ball game. That's reason enough for me to pause on starting Corey Kispert against a games cap. You can keep streaming him if you want because the Wizards have a pretty good schedule this week. It's a four-gamer. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, they go every other day, and then it's a four-gamer next week as well. So you can hang on to Kispert in those formats, but Roto probably not. Jordan Poole off the bench continues to be much more interesting than Jordan Poole as a starter, so hold on to him. Avdija's a hold, Bagley's a hold, Kuzma's a hold, Tyus Jones is a hold, and that ought to be that. Where was Sacramento? Where's their game? Sacramento's down there near the bottom also. There are the Kings. Malik Monk had 39 in this one with no De'Aaron Fox, who may or may not be back for their next ball game. If Fox is out, you just get more out of Monk, more out of Keegan, more out of Sabonis, more out of Herder, typically, more out of Barnes. You're not playing Davion Mitchell, even though he was okay in this ballgame. You're not playing Barnes. You could probably play Herder when Fox is out. I think when Fox comes back, I might consider sitting Herder because it seems like his hot run has kind of cooled off. And then, yes, I know Malik Monk went giant in this one, but continues to profile better as a head-to-head guy than a Roto guy. And I believe Sacramento has kind of a good schedule to start this week. Yeah, three in the first four. And then they're off for a couple of days. So if you got those Kings, this is not a time to move on from them. If you're talking Roto side, Monk is a coin flip. I can't really tell you if the answer is yes or no on a given night. You could look at the opponent and say, Chicago, all right, well, there should be a lot of points. Does that mean, like, you lean towards yes? Probably. But you guys, I think, catch my meaning on that one. And the Pellies, New Orleans in this one. Rotations were a little bit more normal, with the exception of Zion, who only played 21 minutes. This game was a blowout, so they were able to give guys a little bit of breathing room. And I think that probably helped Trey Murphy, who had 6 3-pointers, 28 and 7. Huge ball game for him. He's been on a pretty vicious heater. You go ahead and you play Trey until the heater runs out. And when it does, you'll see his minutes taper off as well because the main guys are back for this team now. McCollum came back, and that is sort of what changed the balance. But, you know, Zion will get a game off here and there, and if anybody gets hurt, then you've got Trey sort of ready to roll. JV bounced back as expected after that weird game where he barely played at all, and not much changes there. You're still using Herb Jones, who was quiet in this ballgame, but also apparently played the best defense in the history of man on Tyrese Halliburton. And so, you know, that's why Herb is going to be in there, even if he cools off a little bit. But he's rolling these days, and so you got to roll with him as well. Let's take a quick gander over at the chat room, see if anybody brought up a topic that I forgot to cover. Enough with Kelly Olynyk, please. We get it. He's the next Michael Jordan. No, I'll never stop talking about Kelly Olynyk. It's a joke at this point. And if you guys are not enjoying the joke, then you're listening to the show incorrectly. Kelly's fantasy game is crazy good. That's the bottom line. Even on a day where he almost effectively tried not to do stuff, he still managed to put up a fantasy line. And there's just nobody in his way anymore. So you kind of have no choice at this point. Which I thought was the case when Barnes went out, but they were going to try to keep him limited there also. Now they got no choice. Let's see here. A question about the Dodgers. I can't. I know, Yellow Mamba. Believe me, I'm going to try to watch the Mookie, Ohtani, Freeman top three as often as humanly possible. Why sell high on Keyonte George? So if you're in a points league, the answer is you don't need to. But if you're in a traditional nine-cat league, it's because there are holes in his fantasy game that get overlooked because he's going to take a lot of shots. That's the short version. He's not a great defensive stats guy. We've seen that now. I think we have enough of a sample size to say that he doesn't really get that many. He had a two-game stretch right before the All-Star break where he had five steals in two games. And since that point, he has three over six games. These things have a way of leveling out. So, we're talking probably one steal or less. He doesn't block shots, which is fine because he's a point guard. But he's shooting kind of a high volume. And I know he was hotter in this last ballgame, but kind of a high volume, 40%. So he's a punt field goal guy. But again, he's going to score a bunch and he's going to get some assists because he's running point a bunch of the time that he's on the floor. And a lot of teams are willing to overlook that stuff. If you can find a team in your league that's punting field goal, they'll give you a lot for Keyonte George. But it doesn't even necessarily have to be that. Someone's just going to see the numbers he's putting up and say, 30 some odd points, whatever the number was in that last 31 points. They're going to just want a guy who scores 31 points. They're not even going to care how it got there. They're not going to care that the previous three ball games he shot 13 for 30. Nope, 13 for 40. Excuse me. 13 for 40. 13 for 30 wouldn't have been all that bad. Like, they're not going to consider the fact that the aggregate of the last four ball games is outside the top 150. They're going to see the last one game, and you can milk that because the turnovers are going to be very high while he's playing point. The steals are going to be low. The free throw's fine. At least that's good. And you're going to get points, you're going to get threes, and you're going to get some assists, but he does things that can break you also, and why it's going to be really hard for him to settle inside anything better than, like, top 90. Hopefully that made sense. Just as a math game. Should I hold on to Marvin Bagley? Yeah, I answered that question. The answer is yes. Hold on to Bagley. And yes, Chris, I know you were joking about Kelly Olynyk. I'm just wondering if other people are newer that are hearing me talk about him and they're like, why is this guy so obsessed with Olynyk? It's a running gag at this point. But I do think he needs to be on rosters. I think those are the only names that I didn't cover in depth that I still could. Good questions over there. If you got further questions, throw them in the comments section. I'll try to get to those at some point after the fact. Or you could try to get me over in Discord. That link is in the show description or on Twitter or whatever. But I do miss a lot of this stuff on Twitter these days because the notifications are a little wacky. Shout out to our buddies at manscaped.com. Use promo code ETHOS20 to get 20% off and free shipping on your order there. Again, an end of show reminder to go get yourself a baseball draft guide. Upgrade from the NBA pass to the All Sport pass for $1 a month. It's a ridiculous deal, and you guys should probably take it. I'm going to go stretch because I'm old and my body hurts. And then I'll do a little lunch. And early this afternoon, we'll try to get a weekly streaming show going. And then we'll have some daily streaming shows the next few days after today as well. So we got a lot on the docket. This is just the first of many. What I believe will be a 9-show week. Playoff start. Good luck. Come on back. Join us for that, 15-minute quick hitter later on playoff schedule, and we'll get you situated there. Have a great one, everybody. See you soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.